Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to that which is in your word, and that you would give each one of us the grace to hear, mark, and inwardly digest all that is in your word, so that by it we may be changed into your likeness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning to you all. So, it's wonderful to be here, and I hope Greg and Karen are having a great time off. I'm sure they are. You're in very capable hands with Rob. I'm very, very privileged here in this parish to have the people you have. Rob is a great asset to you all, as I'm sure you all know. God bless you, Rob. That was an unsolicited advertisement. Now, one of the last things Jesus said when he was here on earth was that he was going away. Remember that passage in John 14? No, I'm going away. The apostle said, where are you going? Please don't go. We need you here. We've had you around for so long. It's been wonderful having you here. You've taught us. You've shown us what it's like to be close to God. You've done so much. How can we manage without you being here? And he said, well, unless I go, I can't send the Holy Spirit to you. And they only vaguely understood that at the time. They came to understand it on the day of Pentecost. And that's wonderful to know the Holy Spirit's here with us. But being human, we need flesh and blood things, don't we? Is that right? We need to be able to hold, not just to think. And it's all very well having the Holy Spirit in us and knowing he's with us and knowing he's leading us. But we need something tangible to know who we are and what we're about. Is that fair enough? Well, it is for me anyway. If it's not for you, well, lucky you. But what's that tangible thing going to be? Well, people have done all sorts of things, haven't they? They've put up idols and not too many of that sort of stuff. You don't have idols and images and all that sort of stuff. But what is it going? How is God going to reveal himself here on earth in a way which you and I can grab hold of tangibly? They're interesting when you start to read the scriptures closely, you see some interesting changes of wording. When Jesus was talking about the kingdom, he always said, the kingdom is like this, like that, like a pearl, the lost son, like the church is like. A whole lot of parables, a whole lot of references to the church is like. Metaphorical references. But when it comes to talking about the church, the scriptures say the church is the body of Christ. It's not like the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Big difference, isn't it? One's metaphorical, the other's actual. The kingdom is like this. But the church is this. It is the bride of Christ. It is the temple of the living God. It is the bride of, it is the body of Christ. So we're going to talk about that very familiar concept to you this morning. You're all very familiar with the body of Christ. We're all very familiar with that last reading. You've probably heard it myriad times, have you? Yeah. And you expect me to say, yes, you've got a few hands in this congregation, you've got a few feet in this congregation, you've got a few lips. You've got a few ears, lots of ears, only a couple of lips and lots of ears. You've heard all that sort of stuff, haven't you? But that's only at the surface level of what it means to be the body of Christ. Let's just think about it. But first, before you can really understand the body of Christ, you have to understand, how do you get into it? How do people become part of that body? Now that seems obvious to us as Bible believers, but it's not so obvious to lots of other church people. People think, we're in the church because grandma was and great-grandma was and uncle so-and-so was a minister, so we're here and, all the normal churchy things that, the church is important to us. I always go to that church. If they close that church, I'm not going anywhere. Those of you who've been on to us and things, we've heard that lots of times. If you dare touch that church of mine, I will never forgive you. And bishops in this diocese have suffered that sort of thing for years, and Lord forgive them. But that's what so many people think. We're going to church today, are you? Ooh. Nice weather shelter. It's all this place is, isn't it? Keeps the weather off. I'm sorry if I'm offending some people who worship the building, but this is a pretty nice weather shelter. Right? You don't get burnt by the sun, the rain doesn't come in, fortunately. Oh, don't, oh, okay, well, I'll leave that alone. But that's all this is. This is not the church, is it? Where's the church? Yeah. You're the church. You've heard that for donkey's years. As long as you've been in the church, you've heard that, haven't you? So I'm not going to go down that line either. But you have to join the church. There has to be the decision to be, I'm sorry, let me change that. You don't join, you have to be joined to the church. And how does that happen? That happens by the individual decision of coming to the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? In the first reading, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We have to be saved. We come into the church as an individual. Guess what? When you get inside, the individual part dissipates a bit. You're still individuals, but it's no longer individualistic. It's no longer you, I'm going to my church, and my church will do this, and my church will look after me in this way, and my church, my minister must come and visit me. If he doesn't visit me, I'm not loved. Now, all those things, you've heard all those too. I hope you haven't said it. But you come into a body, no longer individualistic, still the individual, still have your own personalities and your own giftings and the rest, but it's not just about you anymore. It's a body. And now the body is just so diverse with so many different functions and so many different people, each doing a whole range of things. Each person's got a different role, we know that. The second reading emphasised that. There are, just in the human body, the human organism, the church is an organism as well. The human organism has got, obviously, functions. The hand is not the same as a leg. It's individual, but it's not individualistic. It can't live on its own. There's nothing individualistic about the church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's the body of Christ, the body of the living God, the tangible expression of Jesus alive in this world. Now, that's something we can grab hold of, isn't it? Can't grab hold of an idea, though many people in the world do, and they live their lives around an idea. But here is Jesus alive in our midst. The church is the body of Christ. And you'll probably spend a lifetime working out the full depth of that and the beauty of that. That's why I like some of the other designations of church. The church is the bride of Christ. The beautiful intimacy of that. But as a body, we are the functioning body of Jesus in the world. Oh yes, he operates on his own in many other places. You hear in the Muslim world about people coming to the Lord through visions and dreams and so on. But in our environment, let's not push it away somewhere else, but in our environment here, the only way you see Jesus at work is through us, the body. Here's the body, here's Jesus functioning in this world. Magnificent concept when you think about it. But let's go a little bit further with that. If this is his body, this is him functioning here, how does he function in the world? How is it that he is going to work in individual lives through his body? This is a tool to hand out some of those things. There won't be enough for everybody, but one a couple, I think, probably. My training was as an engineer originally, as some of you know. I went to the ministry many years as an engineer, and I think in engineering terms, I think in terms of flow charts and all that sort of stuff. And here's a bit of a flow chart about what is the church, what is the body, what's the body meant to be, and how do we as members of that body function within that. If you don't like flow charts, we'll just ignore it, but the idea behind it's very important, I think. Many people think the church is an end in itself, that here the role of the minister is to go out and get people and train people, to go and grab people and bring them in here and bring them in here, and they become the frozen chosen. You've probably heard that before. You get people in church and their sole function is to sit in the pew, pay their tithe and go away to have pasta sandwich for lunch. Right? I hope you don't have pasta sandwiches here. I've been in churches that had pasta sandwich every Sunday, and it's not very pleasant for the pastor. But the church has got a very real dynamic role in preparing people. Church is like a processing center. It doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? We're a processing center. Am I got it right? As a processing center, the input and output are people. The input are people who are hurting, scared, needs of great needs, people who above all need the Lord Jesus in their lives. And as they come in for a purpose. Not just to be comforted and to get something to see them through the next week. So many times, and I grew up in this way, so I grew up with the understanding that church is a place where you come and you get your spiritual dynamic for the week. So you can go home and everything is sweet for the week and come back next week and get another charge. And you can see yourself through the week that way. Well, a pretty sick body, isn't it? That's what happens. If all I did as a human body was to have a big feast on Sunday morning and not eat again until next Sunday morning, it'd be pretty grim, wouldn't it? Don't have to think too deeply about that. I love my food, as you can tell. But I need to eat every day. Sunday is a place, and the assembly is a place, where things happen to us. It's supposed to be a processing place, a place where we're trained and equipped and healed and all the other things that go with it. You can't be trained until you're healed. So you come in, you get the spiritual and emotional healing, which comes from the relationship with Jesus and the support of his body. But then you're trained and equipped. But what for? So many times we hear that we're equipped to keep the show going. You want to get into church work? You want to do things for the Lord? Okay, we've got lots of jobs for you. You can be a sidesman, you can be on the vestry or the church council, you can be a synodsman, you can do the gardens, you can do this and do that. And they're all important things, very important things. But that tends to be the end of it. That's the sole way of people functioning within the body. That's not what Jesus said. He's a functioning body to penetrate the world and do something out there. A few people, as you see on that diagram, a few people get recycled back into the church. There are certain things that have to happen within the church. There have to be people who can do the equipping and the teaching. There have to be people who can look after the administrative functions. There are people that need for all the service functions of the church, for all the service outreach and so on. All those things are necessary, absolutely necessary. But that's for the few. The many are prepared so they can be out there. Jesus out there. Jesus in the world. Not only for evangelism. That's one of the important functions. Witnessing to your faith in Jesus. That's one of the important functions. But not the only function. Whatever your job is, you're Jesus in the job. Whatever your family is, you're Jesus in the family. Whatever your social arrangements are, you're Jesus in that situation. The body of Christ functions in all those ways. The arms, the legs, the eyes, the feeding and the cleansing functions, all those functions are there in the human body. They're there in the body of Christ too. But it's for extending his kingdom in all sorts of ways, in the ordinary ways of life. We're here to be equipped. We're here to learn. I love to see people coming with notebooks and pens or pencils. A few of you do. I love to see that. Perhaps you'll do it a bit more. Bring your Bible, bring your notebook and bring your pen. And take notes. And check out if what is being said by me and Rob and Greg and all the rest are fair dinkum. Check us out. Make sure it's in Scripture. If it's not in Scripture, you're free to talk to one of us about it and let's come to some understanding. But we're here to be equipped according to the Scriptures to be the body of Christ, not to talk about it or to think that the body is just the assembly together. And I was taught back in Moore College by a great man of God, Broughton Knox, some of you all know the name. But Knocker had Knocker had a particular view of church which I've come to question. He said the church only exists when it's gathered together. In other words, this is the church here now. Once you go home, you're not the church. And I fundamentally disagree with that. The church is the body of Christ now and always. You're joined together by Jesus into an organism, not an organization, but an organism, a functioning, growing, alive organism. Jesus has brought you into that. You might think it was your decision to come here. Well, if that's the case, you won't last long here. Most of you have been here for yonks. So you were joined here. Don't you? Jesus joined you to this body. And as being joined to this body, you have a responsibility to him and to each other to function as a body. Well, there's a bigger body too. There's a body of Christ in Bendigo. And there's a body of Christ throughout the world. There's a body of Christ throughout the ages. But in terms of people you relate to, this is the body of Christ which operates in this area at this time. There's a bigger body, of course. Some years ago, when Pray Bendigo was operating much more strongly than now, we took a group of people, 30-odd people, I think it was something like that, large group of people, all the congregations in Bendigo, and during the week, we spent a week going around the various congregations, praying in various congregations, asking the Lord to show us what was the particular gift of that congregation. Not of the person, of the congregation. At the end of the week, we came together and looked at what had happened. And as we discerned God's mind about the various congregations in town, we saw that there was not one congregation that competed with another. Every congregation had something different to offer the overall body of Christ here in Bendigo. Every congregation was different. We found that was a marvellous demonstration to us of the reality of the wider body. It doesn't take away from the local body. But you say there is a wider body. That wider body, we need to be in touch with that wider body in some form or other. Because they're our brothers and sisters, the same as people all around the world who name the name of Jesus are our brothers and sisters. But in terms of here operating now, the day-to-day outworking of the life of Christ, you are the body of Christ from this particular congregation functioning with the people you know. That's why the cup of tea afterwards, having a cup of tea afterwards, are we? Yeah, good. That's very important, right? You can start to talk to each other and get to know each other. And I hope you go around to each other's homes. I hope this is a place where you do get invited and invite others. We've been spending a lot of time in recent years going around different, as I was right through my ministry here in Bendigo, going around different congregations throughout the diocese. And it's amazing how rare it is for people to be invited into their homes. Imagine how rare that is. You find that strange. You would think hospitality would be high up on the list. Body needs to get together, needs to understand each other, needs to be able to talk to each other, needs to understand what the various functions are so that you can encourage each other. And you're not all going to be the same. One of the big mistakes we make is, if I've got a particular gift, I'll expect you to have the same gift as me. Ooh, doesn't work, does it? The whole body were an eye, we're with a hearing booth, yeah, and so on. We're all different. We'll have different functions, but together, everything gets done. Together, the whole of our community gets to hear about Jesus. The organism, the local assembly, gets maintained and grows by the great work of administration, which is foundational in any congregation. The administration is foundational. The teaching is foundational. And the serving is foundational. But it's foundational so that other things can happen. Is to equip others and free others to do lots of other things. Not so you can say, Bill's going to do that, or Joe will do such and such, or we'll rely on Edna to go, and I hope I'm using names that aren't here. But so and so will do something else. Instead of saying that, what is my role? What am I going to do? How am I going to be part of this functioning body of Christ? Now, I could go on and on for ages like that, as you know I often do. But let's just leave it there. And please, think carefully about what it means to be an organism, not an organization. That the church is the body of Christ, not is like, it is. Now, The only problem with it being an actuality is that if you're not functioning, guess what happens to the rest? We see it in the difficult situation where people are ill in human terms. If they've not got some use of part of their body, their whole body suffers. If you're not functioning, everyone else has to pay the price. Now, that's not meant to be a guilt trip for you. It's meant to be an encouragement to say, I'm important here. I'm a mother, a grandmother, a father, a worker. I'm a friend to so-and-so, all these things. Now, what has God gifted me in so I can actually do that to benefit the whole body of Christ? Amen? Let's see it happen. Father, I thank you that you are a God of great measure, a God who knows our being, knows our heart, and knows that we need to have flesh and blood around us and not only the powerful Holy Spirit living within us. And Father, as you've given us that flesh and blood around us, as you've given us brothers and sisters and members of your body and all around us, I pray that you will help us to see how we're to function in that, how we're to contribute our bit into that whole thing, and how your kingdom will grow so strongly once you're put in the right place and you've got your body functioning the way a healthy organism can function. Lord, lead us, we pray, in all these matters. In Jesus' name. Amen.